Welcome to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, where we bridge the gap between you and your goals with science and sustainability in your health, nutrition, mindset, and lifestyle journey. I hope you share and enjoy.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Christina Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, Marissa Roy. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about super magical foods, the best foods for fat loss.
Super magical foods. Yes. So, you know, if you caught on to this, then we are going to be talking about, the best foods that you can eat for fat loss, which is a little bit of a clickbait, but there's some validity to it too. So don't feel betrayed. But basically, we're going to walk you through really just like how you should make food choices for fat loss if that's your goal, and what to avoid and all of that. But I guess to kind of like kick us off, the whole fat loss foods thing just comes from, you know, if you Google fat loss, like you just get a billion articles and a billion suggestions of the meals and the foods that you should eat if you want to lose body fat. And the thing that like Women's Health and like Healthline and all these articles and websites do is they kind of like pick 10 foods that are like high in certain vitamins, minerals, nutrients that research, they'll like link the research in. Like research shows that like vitamin C is an antioxidant and reduces inflammation and can help with fat loss or whatever. And they basically compile these lists of foods. And I know this from my past is like when I first started getting interested in health and fitness, like I loved these articles. I would like look at it and be like, awesome, like grapefruit is my fat burning food. I'm going to go eat a grapefruit every single morning. And I'm going to make sure that I have avocados with everything and like all the superfoods and this and that. When in reality, like my focus was just kind of like really in the wrong direction, because it's not about the foods themselves. And we'll get into that. But, you know, I just want to kind of explain how that is marketed. It's not the people on the other end of the article saying, I'm going to trick all these people to buy these foods and it's going to be BS for them. Like there's no like ill intentions when most people write these articles. It's just, they're just trying to highlight certain foods that have a lot of vitamins and minerals, but that doesn't actually make them better or worse for fat loss, because fat loss is a game of energy management, like your calories in, calories out, and the efficiency of those calories in how they digest. And some foods will be more satiating than others. Some even burn more calories just being digested than others. But fat loss really does come down to your consistency and your caloric balance. And we'll kind of explain a little bit of that, but I just wanted to kind of myth bust the whole, like, here's 10 foods for fat loss thing, thinking that if you eat those 10 foods every day in unlimited quantities, that you're just going to magically lose weight.
Yeah. And like what you're saying, I think it's easy for the author to just be like, here are 10 foods. And like, yeah, if you go from like, you know, drinking 10 sodas or like eating fast food and you switch over to like fruits and avocado and oatmeal, you're probably going to see a change, but it's not because of the food themselves. I think that's you know, at the beginning of your article to be like, actually, if you follow these, it doesn't really matter. You need to, you know, focus on your overall calorie intake and portion control. Like it's kind of, I guess, as a person reading it, like for you and me back in the day, it'd be like, I don't want to hear that. Just tell me the 10 foods because we're like, I'll incorporate these things and then I will lose weight. So, it's sometimes I think it's nice as a consumer to just be like, just tell me the foods I need to eat to lose weight. So hopefully we can help you a little bit without feeling that there are magic foods, because I think that the other side of the coin is then you start to say, well, okay, well then there are bad foods or there are foods that I should like avoid. These are no-nos. And then you start to put restrictions on yourself and you kind of fall into, well, I'm either dieting or I'm not. And that's really what we're trying to avoid here.
Yeah. And I think it really just comes down to the meaning that you assign to the food, right? You look on the list and it says grapefruit is great for fat loss. And let's say you start eating grapefruit, but that grapefruit replaces four bowls of cereal that you just down without even thinking about it because cereal's not satiating. And maybe you just have a grapefruit compared to four bowls of cereal. That's like 50 calories versus like 300-400 of straight up sugar. So like you're replacing calories. You lose weight because you basically ate nothing for breakfast. And, but the problem is the meaning that you assign to it. And you say, wow, grapefruit really did work. I lost weight from just eating grapefruit. It's magic. It's not that. It's the fact that the grapefruit had like basically no calories and a lot of fiber that kept you fuller and managed some certain things downstream that overall just helped you stay in a calorie deficit. And so it's really just like a lot of times people misassign meaning to the foods that they eat, the diet plans that they do, and the things that have quote unquote worked for them in the past. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they're stupid or they don't know what they're doing. It's just they had the experience and that experience was validated. So that's the meaning that they assigned. But when you learn the science, which is what we teach here, is how it actually works. And then you could reassign that meaning to the real reason why I lost the weight wasn't just because grapefruit's magic. It's because grapefruit was low in calories and high in fiber and very satiating and nutrient dense. And it replaced a lot of calories that I was eating otherwise and allowed me to be in a calorie deficit because that's what it'll all come back to. So yeah, I think that's just an important distinction to make when you're thinking about fat loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same, like you were saying with diets, it's like, oh, well, keto worked for me or, you know, paleo or intermittent fasting. It's like, well, yes, it worked, but like, let's dive in. It's like, if you went or, you know, vegan, it's like, well, it's probably not that, you know, vegan, it's probably that you just incorporated some more fruits and vegetables. And like you're saying, you're eating a little bit less and that's why you were successful. So I think, again, the main thing to consider is like, all right, let's make sure that we're controlling for calories. And if we want to take it a step further, we can start to track macros. So you're going to have way, way, way better results if you do that. And we'll talk about like why protein is super important. But yeah, so we want to make sure that we're controlling for that. And we also want to make sure that you are exercising, you know, appropriately, your strength training, maybe a couple times a week or something like that. That's going to make sure that you're in a really good spot. And we're, you know, drinking water, just kind of like all of those basic necessities are met. And then we can talk about like what specific foods you can incorporate into your diet if like all of those things are controlled for. Mm-hmm. And sleep and stress and all those.
Yeah. So the big rocks of fat loss are your calorie deficit, your hydration, your sleep, your movement, strength training, stress management. It's kind of the whole shebang. We do have an episode on that in particular that breaks down exactly how all those things work together to create fat loss. But when we think about the calorie deficit, the food quality is then like a subcategory of the calorie deficit. So the food quality influences the calorie deficit and the calorie deficit should also influence the food quality. So it should kind of go both ways. So what I mean by that is food quality influences calorie deficit. The more whole, nutrient dense, fibrous, water-based foods that you eat, like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, etc., just overall, the less calories you're going to probably be able to consume because these foods are by nature more satiating. They keep you fuller for longer. They are more nutrient dense. So they're more psychologically satiating. And, you know, they're just simply not as palatable as super processed foods. So you struggle to overeat them in general.
I'm sure you're similar. We have a ton of clients who are like, oh my God, I cannot eat any more food. Like, yeah, I don't understand how I'm able to eat, you know, 120 grams of protein and eat anything else. And it's like, yes, this is what we want.
Yeah. So you should definitely feel like, you know, you struggle to eat more food when you actually trade off that food quality for something that's better. But then also the calorie deficit influences the food quality, meaning that the lower your calories get, the more sense it makes to eat like lower caloric density foods. So calorically dense foods are just foods that are really dense in calories. So like a Snickers bar is like 3 bites, maybe 4. And it is like 300 calories. But a meal of like some brown rice and some chicken breast and a big old heaping of vegetables, and you could fill up an entire plate, could also be 300 calories. And so that's caloric density, how little space it takes up for the amount of calories that it is. And if you are in a big calorie deficit, it kind of, and Sohee Lee is a great example of this. Like, she did the Snickers every day contest prep. So she dieted down to stage lean, low body fat levels, while incorporating a Snickers bar in her diet every single day to prove the point that foods aren't magic and it's just about the calorie deficit. Now, she was absolutely miserable, and she was able to drive home a secondary point with that whole experiment because of that. The Snickers bar took up, by the end of her diet, like a third of her whole intake for the day. And it was miserable because she was super hungry. And if she had just filled those calories with vegetables and lean proteins and other foods, she would have been a way happier human being that whole diet. And so the lower calories that you have, it should influence the food quality that you choose, unless you like being really hungry and really miserable.
Yeah. So at that point, it's like an interesting trade-off, because she's like, I don't even friggin' want this thing. Like, I'd rather have a big old bowl of like chicken, rice, and broccoli and call it a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I guess like when we talk about food quality, it's important to kind of be explicit too. Like, what does that even mean? And we've kind of said nutrient-dense food, and I'm tossing around these buzzwords that I assume you know what they mean, but like, these are essentially like foods you find on the perimeter of the grocery store, things that don't have a label, a box or a bag or a package, single ingredient stuff, stuff that actually grows out of the ground or is like a living thing that you eat, like meat. But just by nature, these things have more nutrients. And the flip side, processed foods, packaged foods, they just have more chemicals, usually less nutrients, usually just the nutrient quality is diluted either through the processing or just the preservation of the food and that sort of a thing. But it's also important to note that you really have to meet yourself where you're at, because if you were to say, okay, food quality matters, I'm going to shop all organic and non-GMO and like all of these amazing foods, but you're currently just eating like Cheetos and Lunchables, then you could totally get away with like canned green beans or like frozen vegetables or like just adding something in your diet, right? So meet yourself where you're at and understand that like fear mongering yourself with the chemicals that are in canned green beans is not going to make or break your progress if you're not eating any vegetables in the first place. Just eat the damn canned green beans. And when you get into the habit of eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, and the canned green beans are actually the thing that's holding you back from being your best, then maybe go back and address it. But I know plenty of people, you know, for this specific example, that love canned green beans and are very healthy individuals.
Yeah. Or it could be something as simple as like, okay, you eat out for every single meal for dinner. Maybe one day a week, you make it an effort to prepare your own food at home. Yeah. Like it can be some super simple, and then maybe you kind of get into that groove, and then you're like, okay, well maybe I'll try two meals at home, and then maybe I'll do three, and like you slowly taper that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when it comes to food quality, it is important to be in a calorie deficit to increase the amount of foods that are nutrient dense, but to what expense and from what starting point are really important questions to answer. And, you know, just making a couple steps in the right direction, if your whole diet looks like trash, can make a huge difference. So just be patient with yourself. Don't try to change everything overnight, because it's actually going to be better for you in the long run as well. So yeah. Yes, it's important, but you just kind of know where you're at. Check in with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So like you're saying, it's like, maybe I just add in a can of green beans, or maybe I have a bowl of oatmeal, but I throw some raspberries on top. Like you just kind of add in. And so, cause I think that a lot of times what people do when they start a diet is they start, what can I cut out? What do I need to reduce? And I'm going to cut out alcohol. I'm going to cut out sugar. And it's like, what if we added in food? What if we add in a handful of fruits and vegetables? What if we add in some lean protein? And you're going to see some huge changes by adding foods in rather than reducing. And I feel like that's really motivating to be like, wow, like I'm still eating all the foods I really like. I just added in a few other foods. And to your, to what you were saying earlier, it's like, it's not that you were increasing your food intake. You're probably decreasing it, but because of the swaps or the small changes that you're making, like you're feeling fuller. So you're not having to eat as much just with those small changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's why we talk about like tracking your intake, because then you're not just guessing. It's not like, well, I think this is happening, or I think that it's like, you can just make very specific, very accurate changes to your nutrition. So that way you have a really good idea and you know how to manipulate rather than just be like, I don't know, something's working.
Yeah. And I think it just depends on where you're at with the journey too. Like, I think it's important to just kind of, if you're just getting started, put a focus on like, okay, let me just add more of these foods in, right? And just add the foods in. Don't even like, don't worry about tracking it. Don't worry about calories. If you're making swaps consistently and you're eating more nutrient dense stuff than you used to, and you're listening to your hunger signals, and you're not just like constantly overindulging in everything, chances are you'll probably see some progress just from that alone. But then, you know, at a certain point, it does make a lot of sense to get some numbers assigned to things. And I think that's really like where a lot of people go wrong, is they think that they can just make these changes to their diet and never measure anything and just expect magic to happen. And that's definitely not the case. And so it's like, if you are at a plateau, you stopped losing weight, you stopped seeing results, you stopped getting more energy, but you're still making all these swaps, that's when I'm like, all right, now you need to put some numbers to things, because like, that's when you're going to get frustrated. That's when you're going to be spinning your wheels and looking for answers that are probably right in front of you if you were to just log in, you know, what you're eating. So I think it's just knowing where you're at too. Like if you're like, for example, my cousin in Phoenix, he's basically got like a 3-year time span to just make a decision to change. So what I mean by that is, like, we first started like visiting him in 2021, and he was like, wow, it's really cool to be around you guys. You guys have such healthy habits and this and that. And he was like interested, but he didn't change anything. Like, he wasn't working out. He didn't make any changes to his diet. He would just observe. And then we came around again and hung out with him. And he was like, I'm going to get serious. I'm going to do it. And then he would kind of try, and then he would fall off a little bit. And then this trip, you know, 2.5, almost 3 years later, he was like, I've been making some changes. I've been walking for 15 minutes a day. I've been kind of just using Aaron's ordering rule. Like, I'm going to order one good thing and one bad thing. So if I get the burger, I'm going to get a side salad. If I get this, like, he's just kind of making some trade-offs, right? And it literally took him like 3 years to just make that change. And like, I guarantee he's making these changes. He's process focused. He's focused on just the little habits. He's like, next time we visit, he's going to have lost weight. Absolutely. And he's probably going to have gotten to a place in 6 months, a year from now, where he feels way healthier. His joints feel better. He has more energy. And then he'll face the choice of, do I want to take this a step further? Like, do I want to like really dial in for some specific results? And that's when he might need to look at macronutrients, tracking calories, understanding what's actually going on. But like, his starting place was so far away from just a general healthy life that he's not going to need to touch macros for a very long time. So I think it's also knowing your starting place. If you're someone who's never taken care of their health, you can get away with just those small changes for a while. But if you're the person, you know, that Christine and I tend to work with a lot, that does diet after diet and restriction after restriction, and you've done Noom and Weight Watchers, and you've already counted a lot of shit, you're probably going to need to be a little more specific.
Yeah. Especially if you're someone who's like, I just have like, you know, 10 to 15 more pounds to lose. It's like, okay, yeah, we probably need to be a little bit more accurate than opposed to like, oh, you know, I just need to lose the initial 50 or something. And yeah, you can usually get away with a little bit being less rigid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back to food choice for fat loss. There's kind of two main things that we wanted to touch on here, other than just like making those nutrient dense food swaps. And the first one is fiber. So fiber is in a lot of the foods that we've mentioned, like oatmeal and whole grains and potatoes and starches, and also fruits and vegetables. And what is fiber? Fiber is essentially, it helps us make number twos. It makes those, the consistency of those really great. It helps with our digestion, moving things along the digestive tract. It helps feed our microbiota and keeps our gut healthy. And it keeps us full for longer because fiber is a really hard molecule to digest. And therefore, it takes a while to digest and it keeps us fuller for longer because our stomach is just still working on it. And so fiber is something that naturally just goes up in our intake when we increase fruits, vegetables, whole grains, starches, etc. And is really important for fat loss because, again, it's less caloric density for more fullness and satiation in our diet. And so we often will recommend 25 to 35 ish grams of fiber in each day is kind of on average a good target to aim for in order to like really feel satiated and also have like really good gut health.
Yeah. The other thing it does is it helps with blood sugar regulation. Yes. So super important to think about. So it slows down
the digestive process and the absorption of carbohydrates. So if you like trying to think of like, okay, if you eat like a donut or a bowl of cereal versus like, again, you know, like a whole bowl of broccoli or something like that, like probably like 20 minutes after the donut, you're like, all right, what's next? Mm-hmm. Like what can I eat again? So that is another reason, like paired with protein, like you're going to feel a lot fuller. The other thing it might help with is like those energy crashes and spikes. So you may not feel like, oh man, I have all this energy. And then 20 minutes later, okay, I need another cup of coffee or something like that. And it is probably also going to help with cravings. So fiber is really, really beneficial to add in to your diet.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, it's such an important part of fat loss. Like you can kind of get away with, like, for example, if I were, I am just maintaining my weight right now. I can get away with like having some foods in there that are not fibrous and, you know, just like a cookie or like something that's not going to keep me full and it's not going to hold me over. But, you know, I'm able to do that because I'm just able to eat more, period, because I'm not trying to lose weight right now. Versus if like I am in a deficit and I'm only eating 1400 calories a day, I will absolutely make sure every single one of my meals is just jam packed with fiber because I don't want to feel hungry. And to a certain extent, being a little hungry is a part of fat loss, but we try to just mitigate it as much as we can. And fiber really, really helps you do that. So if you want to be able to stick to any fat loss protocol that you have, fiber is really important.
Yeah. Do we want to list fibrous foods or just roll on to protein?
I mean, we could kind of just like spitball a couple, like some that I think are big sleepers are raspberries and avocados surprisingly have a ton. Just adding chia and flax seeds to like oatmeal or yogurt, could be really, really helpful. And I guess oatmeal is like a given, but like, those are like top four, like go-to high fiber things that I really love. What about you?
Yeah, definitely a lot of berries. So raspberries, blackberries are my top two. So back in 2016, yeah, I think it was my 2016 prep. My coach at the time had me doing kind of like a modified keto approach, and I was having to track like net carbs and all that stuff. So I learned a lot about what was in like food and fiber.
Fiber.
Yeah. So yeah, those were my go-to, like blackberries, raspberries. But any sort of like whole grain. So like whole grain pasta, fortified cereals. There are a lot of wraps. Like there are, I actually just had one today. It's like 11 grams of fiber for one wrap, which is great because I'm at a point where not eating too low calorie, but I'm also not eating like a ton of food. So I'm like trying to pay a little bit more attention to that where I'm not feeling like super full. So I've been adding those in, but like chickpeas, black peas, black beans, things like that. A lot of breads, like whole grain breads can have a lot of fiber. And then just vegetables. So like broccoli, cauliflower, carrots. I mean, you have to eat them typically in like higher volume in order to get the fiber, sweet potatoes, what else? But like, yeah, the chia seeds and.
Yeah. I mean, generally, if you have like a whole grain carb and a serving of fruits or vegetables at every meal, like you'll be covered. You'll be plenty good. So like, don't overthink it. And again, like we're not listing these foods because they're magic for fat loss or fiber. It's just, they have some. And if you just like incorporate it regularly, you will probably be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, hey, if you're not driving and you're liking this episode, just take 2 seconds and support our show by giving it a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. These ratings and reviews just allow us to bring more knowledgeable and influential people onto this show for you to learn everything possible about science and sustainability with respect to your goals. And if you like this episode, just screenshot it and tag us on Instagram to show your support. One share really could be the catalyst for someone in your life to transform their body, their health, and their fitness for good. And of course, it helps our show grow too, and we appreciate that. All right, back to the show.
All right, awesome. So let's dive on over into protein. And so, or did you? No. Oh, okay. You looked like you were like, no, let's not do the protein.
Protein.
So we talk about it in all of our nutrition episodes, but it is really, really important for, again, it's the same thing as fiber. Like you're going to feel very, very satiated if you're having protein at every single meal. And it's also going to contribute to you being like able to have that caloric deficit. Cause again, you're just really not going to feel very hungry. We have clients who don't change anything in their diet, but they just add in the protein and they're like, oh my God, I'm so full. And then we have talked very briefly about the thermic effect of food. So protein is, it's going to raise your, like how much you burn throughout the day, but it's really, I mean, we're going to like the depths of protein, but the other thing it really is going to help with too, like if you are resistance training, even if you're not, but it's going to help with muscle preservation and growth. And that is really going to help when we are dieting, if we are going to lose weight, that we look toned, that's what we're looking for. We're not just going to have that kind of like skinny look, skinny fat look. And then, it's also just going to help with increased energy expenditure. So it's the same thing that we talked about with the thermic effect of food. Like it does kind of contribute to that.
Yeah. So basically that thermic effect is like every single food that you eat takes a certain amount of calories burned to actually digest. And the percentage of that is basically dependent on the food's thermic effect. So like protein, 20 to 40% of protein is like burned off in the process of digesting. So like you're only actually eating a certain percentage of the calories that is listed on, say, like the label. Now that's not to say go subtract it out of your day. It's just to say that it is going to be more costly to your body to process. Versus a McDouble will not take very many calories to burn through your body because it's kind of processed. It'll just kind of break down really easily. And it has a low thermic effect of food. So you actually absorb more calories in the process of digestion than you would with a lean protein. And with that, you know, I'll add on to the muscle building conversation. Not only are you going to look the way that you want to look when you eat more protein for fat loss, but it's also going to, you know, boost your metabolism, or for lack of a better term. I don't love using buzzwords all the time, but it will boost your metabolic rate to increase your protein intake right on a regular basis, because eating protein stimulates muscle growth and recovery. And that is a very energy expensive process. It takes a lot of calories to even just maintain the muscle on your body. So if you really want to lose fat and you want to lose it for good, you should look at building muscle, because that is how your metabolism is going to get more resilient and stronger and faster, and is going to constantly just be running on all cylinders, because you are training your muscles and fueling your muscles. And this is going to allow your body to kind of just let go of body fat because it's so focused on preserving and building muscle. So yeah. Protein is super key for that. Just in general rule of thumb, you want to have, I mean, anywhere from 0.8 to 1.2 grams per pound of your body weight of protein per day. If that sounds like a lot because you have a lot of weight to lose, go with your target body weight. So if you have like 50, 100 pounds to lose, you don't need 250 or 300 grams of protein a day. Try your target body weight. So if you end goal, you want to weigh 150, 175, set your protein goal based off of that, because your protein goal is proportionate to the amount of muscle and lean body masses on your frame, not proportional to all of that plus fat mass. Protein doesn't do anything for fat mass directly. So that's kind of why it's set that way. But you know, if that still sounds like a lot, start on the low end of the range and just try to get as close as you can. There's no built-in threshold in your body that's like, you know, I got 149 grams of protein and my goal is 150. I'm just not going to process, you know, this protein today. I'm just not going to use it. It's just going to turn into fat. Our body doesn't do that. It does what it can with what it has. So if you get closer to your goal, it's way better off than not even trying in the first place.
Yeah. And so I love what you're saying too about, like, you know, we are getting into like the details of protein with, like, you know, the thermic effect of food and it's going to boost your metabolism and all those things. But I think it just serves as a really good example, like we kind of what you were talking about earlier with like the small changes. So like at the very core, the very beginning, it's like calories in, calories out, right? Like that with the, you know, the muscle and strength nutrition pyramid. We talked about this with Eric Helms. It's very popular. At the base, it's like your energy balance, like calories, like just focus on calories. And so why, you know, it's like, okay, if I can do that, if I have a pretty good feel for that, it's like, what's next? It's like, okay, well now I'm going to start to focus a little bit on macros. And so why I like this example, it's because you can have two people, or I mean, you can be eating 2000 calories and just change the content of what you're eating. Like maybe you start to focus a little bit more on increasing your protein. You know, you bring your fats down a little bit or something like that. You're not changing the amount that you're eating, just what you're eating. And you can make some really, really big changes that way, still by eating the exact same amount. So that's one of the reasons why I really love those examples, because it's like you don't always have to eat less in order to see results. And again, which is another reason why I'm such a big advocate for tracking macros, because I'm like, yeah, you can make it, you can see some really big results without actually having to diet. So that, again, that's one of the reasons why protein is so, so important in your diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, I do like going into the weeds for you guys, because you seem to like that. And also I found that, like, if we're already working on making the changes, but we're struggling to stay consistent with it, sometimes the education of like the why does help with like, okay, now I have some buy-in to like why I should actually do this, not just because Marissa and Christina said so. So definitely good there. I mean, in terms of just sources of protein, you kind of want to rapid fire some of those too, and how we can just help our people here get more protein in their diet.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you do want to be careful of is protein sources can also be very high in fat. So you want to make sure that you are kind of paying attention to what you're eating when it comes to protein. So we want to definitely incorporate a lot of lean protein sources, like chicken breast, ground turkey, egg whites, protein powders, things like that. But again, that's not to say the fat is bad. We definitely need good sources of animal fat. Egg white or eggs are amazing for choline, especially, and just lots of nutrients. We definitely do need fat, but just to pay attention, you can make a lot of swaps. Because I would say that is another thing that we hear from clients is like, I'm having trouble hitting my protein goal, but not going over on fat. So just some small changes. Just definitely paying attention to the cuts of like meat that you're having, like just like a round eye steak is going to be a lot lower in calories and fat than like a ribeye. So just pay attention to that. But turkey, beef, eggs, egg whites, chicken breast, yogurt, tofu.
Yeah.
What else?
I think just to like, I think a lot of people could list those same things off, but I think like maybe how do we do it in a way that, you know, people are like, oh, I'm trying to eat this protein. I'm so full. It's like, well, number one, go like, if you're really, really full, just go for the leaner cuts of protein, even if they don't taste quite as good, right? So chicken breast over thigh, sirloin over ribeye, flank over ribeye, filet over anything over ribeye, essentially. Ribeye is like all fat, but yeah. Pork, right? If you were to eat pork, depending on like where you're getting it from, is it like the shoulder? Is it the butt? Is it, you know, ribs, like whatever, I don't know. Like it could be really fatty and you could be really full from not only the protein, but the fat. So if you want to get creative on how to get as much as you need in without getting too full, start with the leanness, the fat percentage in dairy products is important to look at. But also like maybe a couple creative ways to get more protein in is you can kind of sneak it into like your oatmeal in the morning. You can make that with protein powder. You can make smoothies with protein powder. You can add yogurt to your smoothies. You can add yogurt to your oats too. I've done that before. It's not that bad. You can make a yogurt bowl with protein powder. Like you can take plain yogurt that's unsweetened, unflavored, not get any of the sugar from it, just put like a scoop of protein powder and mix it in, and you have like a chocolatey or vanilla-y or whatever flavor your protein is yogurt. And look for like the protein enhanced like pastas and breads and wraps. Like those mm-hmm. are super popular now. And a little bit does go a long way. It really just kind of adds up throughout the day. So if you just kind of look for those things, you'll find protein sneaking into basically everything. And then oftentimes what happens is it's hard to stay under your goal after you kind of make all those swaps.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing too, it is very difficult to hit your protein if you're just relying on like one or two meals throughout the day. So definitely a good idea to break it up and try to figure out, okay, how do I have protein at every meal? Specifically, I would say breakfast is going to be super important. People who have a higher protein breakfast are that much more likely to be successful with hitting their protein targets for the remainder of the day. Cause like, I've 100% been there. It's like the end of the night and you're like, oh my God, I have 80 grams of protein to hit. Like, this is going to be miserable because you're like, I have to eat dinner and then I have to have like two, you know, scoops of protein at the end of the night. And you're probably not going to feel very good. So as like digestive purposes too, it just makes more sense to kind of say like, okay, like if you're supposed to have 125 grams of protein, I have five meals, you know, three meals, two snacks a day divided by five. So my target is 25 grams of protein at every meal. It's mm-hmm. going to be a lot easier than trying to just rely on a couple meals.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, like with a protein goal, you can find yourself very overwhelmed if you start thinking like, oh, I'm eating lots of protein and like you have like a egg at the beginning of the day and you're like, protein, I got it. And then you get to the end of your day and you're like, why do I have 80 grams left? It's because you need to check how much protein is actually in a serving of the things that you're eating. We use the palm size analogy of like a palm is about 25 to 35 grams of protein. The bad part is that that only applies to like lean protein, like meats and fish. It does not apply to eggs because I think like two eggs would fit on my palm and that's only 12 grams of protein. Yogurt, my palm size is like half of maybe a third of a serving of protein of yogurt. So you just kind of have to label check and you have to check your servings and how much you're actually getting. And newsflash, if you're someone who quote unquote doesn't eat a lot, it's going to feel like a lot of fucking food.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think hopefully just to kind of like wrap up the episode is don't feel like if you're in a fat loss phase or you're trying to be, which you probably are, if you clicked on the title of this episode, yeah. You don't necessarily need to diet right away, that there are a lot of changes that you can make before you need to enter into an actual caloric deficit.
Yeah.
And there are no magic foods.
No magic foods, just, you know, small changes. The small changes really are the magic. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of nice though, to know that like, okay, there aren't any magic foods. So if I want to, like, you know, us, both of us, you know, we eat cookies at the end of the night and we know it's because I can have this and there are no magic foods and I enjoy this and I've hit my, you know, protein, I've hit my fiber for the day. So like I have some room in my diet for, you know, fun foods that I enjoy. And I definitely, I mean, I know that there's like an analogy out there, like eat like a dog, like in order to see results, but I'm like, I enjoy food. So I think it's just nice that it, like, you don't need to feel guilty for eating certain things, that a lot of it is all about balance, moderation. And the thing that I like to, and I use this with my clients all the time, I kind of talk about like discipline equals freedom. So like, if you're disciplined, like 80% of the time, like, you know, you hit your fiber, you hit your quality foods, you're hitting your protein, like you have that freedom to kind of eat what you want. Like, you know, if you want a cookie at the end of the night, that's totally fine. And you have that wiggle room and it's really not going to make that big of a difference because you eat pretty well most of the time. So I kind of like that. Like I don't want anyone to listen to this episode and feel like there are good foods or bad foods. Like it's all in the context of what you're eating.
Yep. Absolutely. Just keeping that in mind, the next time you see a great foods for fat loss article on the interwebs.
Awesome, guys. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can find both of us on Instagram. You can find me at Christy Lynn Fit, and you can find Marissa at Marissa Roy Fitness. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.